It's a treat for me to be able to open God's Word for you, to study it. It's the treasure, and it's amazing that God would let sinners, saved sinners like me, open His precious, pure Word ever. But what a blessing, what a privilege it is. Mark chapter 10. So there was this pastor who passed away. He was in heaven, awaiting his eternal rewards. Just ahead of him was a Sunday school bus driver who was awaiting his. And so the pastor's thinking, this will be interesting. I wonder what he'll get. And so he was ahead of him. So the Sunday school bus driver was shown to this pretty amazing mansion. So the pastor, you know, he's thinking, if he got that, wonder what I'm going to get. And so after a while, the pastor was shown to this decent shack, not bad at all. And so he says, hold on, I'm not that I'm complaining or anything. Okay, maybe a little bit. I'm confused. This Sunday school bus driver, he gets this mansion, I get this shack, and the angel or whoever. It kind of has to do with your effect on people on the earth. He's like, okay. And he says, well, you preached and preached and preached your heart out. He's like, yeah. And the people slept. He's like, true. And he drove and drove and drove furiously. Say, okay. And the people prayed. I'm pretty sure that's not tucked in one of those places in the book of Revelation. but for about 20 years or so, I've had my bus license. And so I've driven off and on. I've been a bus captain during those times. I've driven some. When I took Harvesters, I wasn't a bus captain. That freed me up to drive some. I was a substitute bus driver some. And then for the last year and a half or so, or maybe more, I lose track. I've been kind of the main driver for Black Oak out in Gary. And I've just, as I drive, maybe it's from my freshman speech class where we're talking about object lessons, and I tell them all of life is an object lesson, right? If you just pay attention, there's little lessons for us all around. So in my mind for a little while, I've been collecting little things I've learned, little object lessons from being a Sunday school bus driver, and I thought I would share some of those today. I do love the bus ministry. My wife's parents were reached through the bus ministry in West Virginia. Some people were knocking doors for their bus route and came across her parents, and eventually they got saved. And my wife is an indirect result, her salvation, indirect result of the bus ministry. I love it. See if you can hear the bus ministry in these words. Mark 10, let's start there in verse 13. And they brought young children to him. That's Jesus. Does that sound like the bus ministry? It's not the only place. There's children's ministry is so important. The Sunday schools and the junior churches, and that's all part of it, isn't it? But they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. Reminds us of the sermon yesterday morning. The humbling hand of God, the healing hand of God, the helping hand of God. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. So there were some people that were upset. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, not with the people bringing them. He was displeased at something different than what the disciples were displeased at. He was displeased at the people who were displeased, at the people bringing children to Jesus. And he said unto them, suffer, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And I love this line. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So just four things I'll bring out about this real quickly before we get into some of the object lessons. One, they brought young children to Jesus. Boy, that's a good description of the bus ministry. By the way, if you bring people to Jesus, that doesn't mean they get saved. You want to bring people to Jesus over and over again until they recognize their need of him. Bringing them and placing them at the foot of Jesus in those Sunday school lessons, you put them at the feet or you put them on the lap of Jesus, that doesn't make you saved. But you want to bring people to Jesus often. Put Jesus in front of people over and over again until they finally see their need and say, I need him. But they have to be brought to Jesus. The gospel has to be brought to them. They have to have that interaction. And then hopefully there's a salvation that results. Secondly, some were displeased. Children can be disruptive and dirty. Those of you who clean the property here, some of that is the ministries. The people we bring in tear things up, mess things up. Maybe you had to go out with a naughty little child and walk the halls with them, trying to calm them down, and eventually it didn't work, so you dropped them off at the counseling room. Children can be disruptive and dirty, but Jesus loves them. And remember, it's not about what you and I love. It's about what he loves. And getting his heart for what he loves. And then he says in here, where he says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. When you work with children, it helps you cultivate that childlike faith that we're supposed to have. It's like the exalted scholar, right, that came in and said, now you know, this whole Red Sea, it was actually the Reed Sea. And there was actually 2 inches of water there. And there was nothing really miraculous about it at all when they escaped from the Egyptian army. They just sloshed through 2 inches of water. So, again, it's not that big a deal. Some little girl was like, wow, God is amazing. And he goes, I just told you, it's not that amazing. He goes, if what you're saying is true, God drowned the entire Egyptian army in 2 inches of water. God's amazing. And what he's saying wasn't true, but boy, that childlike faith, the eyes of a child, he saw an amazing God. Well, somebody tried to trivialize an amazing God. The child saw. I tell you, I envy all of you someday when you have your little kids. If God gives you children, you sit with them at family devotions, you express something so that their minds can comprehend it, and then you see their eyes light up. And your eyes get to light up all over again through the eyes of your children beholding the beauty of God's truth. And again, it's good for us. There is nothing more important than the touch of Jesus in a life. And that's what the bus ministry does. So 10 lessons. I'll tell you some bus driver stories and kind of a lesson we learned. So about a month and a half ago, we're driving to Black Oak. It's cold and rainy. Cold and rainy. So I get all the way out there. I'm making this turn. And there's clunk, 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 clunk. You're like, well, that wasn't a good sound. And so I wasn't able to complete the turn. So here I am diagonal in this intersection. And the engine's running. The clunk, clunk is done, but as I give power, there's nothing happening. I look down. I didn't slip out of gear. And so Israel and Arizona's dad, he jumps off the bus. He looks underneath and says, the drive shaft is detached. It's just hanging underneath the bus. And I'm like, well, that's a problem. So we had enough people on there. I said, all right, I need all the guys to get off and push me over there to the curb. And it was almost like, that's a thing? You can get off and push a bus someplace? But they're like, okay. So they got off, and pretty soon we were pushed over to the edge. And then I called Brother Bishop. I was like, hey, Brother Bishop,
I have a blessing for you. When the drive shaft sheared off, I was not on the freeway. Isn't that a blessing? And he's all I heard was, your drive shaft sheared off. I'll think about what a blessing that is later, after we figure out what to do about your drive shaft. So he came, and Mr. Stockman came and helped to rescue us. But as we sat there, the engine purring, no problem. I have heat coming in. I have all the power I need, but it's detached from my wheels. All the power that I could need to do anything, but I have no access. Something has separated it from my wheels. So we think of, as that's kind of the main, as I'm just sitting there thinking, it's just rumbling away. All the power I need, but I can't access it. I thought of Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. Neither is ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated, have sheared off the drive shaft from that universal in the back that would, with all the gears, translate all of that power to those wheels. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. How sad is it to have all the power you need? What did he say in Matthew 28? All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. I have the power, but we can be separated from that power. That power is purring. It's all there. All the power we need to do something wonderful. And we can get detached if we're not careful. So that was lesson number one. Lesson number two. How many of you, a lot of times, you try not to be a backseat driver, right? You can get lost in the program. And it's wonderful. It's kind of fun. The worker that gets lost in the program, they're like, where are we? And so they don't know where we are on the route. They're lost in the program. There are others that are kind of staring out and watching. Wow, we were pretty close to that car. And you get some tight situations with those buses. You're looking down the road and you think there isn't room between those cars that are off of the curb too far. And you're in the apartment complex, you're turning and you think, we're going to hit that car. And after a while, you know, people in the back are wincing. It's like, how is this gigantic vehicle getting through these tight spots? This guy, I mean, what? These drivers are amazing. And I got to tell you, we have a secret power, and that is the mirrors on the bus. So lesson number two is learn to trust your mirrors. And again, Mr. Bishop was even saying, it might look tight, but if your mirrors are wider than the bus, if you get through, if your mirrors get through, the bus is more narrow. But sometimes you're turning. I have 7 mirrors on the front of my bus. Okay, so I have the giant one. I have the giant one up here. I have 2 here, one here, one here, one here, one here. The bottom ones are kind of aimed so you can see your blind spot. Then I have 2 round mirrors at the front, the fisheye mirrors. I can see my front bumper. I feel like I can see more with those mirrors than I can in my little car. They're amazing, and I love that up there. I can look down. I can see my front bumper, that there's no tiny person that I can't see over the hood walking in front of me. I'm not going to take off. I want to check that. Even when Mr. Bishop dismisses me, when he says, okay, you're good, I still have a habit of just checking one more time everything. And you can see so much. At first, it's hard to learn to trust your mirrors. Mr. Bishop was saying that when he's training a new driver, he'll say, okay, back up here. And the driver will be like this, looking back. And he'll be like, no, just look in your mirrors. I'm like, I don't know. I can't trust a reflection. I have to see it with my own eyes. I got to look back. No. Because when this bus is full, you're not going to be able to look back. You got all these kids in there, you know. And you're learning to trust those mirrors. In the Bible, we have, the Bible is a mirror, isn't it? And we need to learn to trust this mirror. There in James 1, 22 through 25, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He didn't trust the mirror. he didn't do something about what he saw in the mirror. He says, I can't react to what I see in the mirror. I have to trust these eyes. But what does the Bible say about these eyes? 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he looks into this mirror and he gets a reflection of who he is. And he continueth in what this shows him, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You can go to the fun maze area, the mirror maze, right? Some mirrors are funny. They can make you look tall and thin or short and wide. You have fish eye mirrors. One thing we do know about mirrors is everything's the opposite, right? Everything you see is the opposite. Because Alec is left-handed, my mind picks up on left-handed people. So if we're watching a basketball game and some person shoots a three with a left hand, I'm like, oh, look, a lefty. And so this guy was cutting my hair maybe a month ago or so, and I just looked up at my brain and said, oh, look, a lefty. And he was in the mirror. And so I said, oh, a lefty, my son's left-handed. And he's like, nope. I'm like, you are in the mirror. But the thing is, in a mirror, everything is the opposite. But you'd say, and so that's what makes this extra special, because this is a supernatural mirror. Instead of everything being the opposite or everything being distorted, our eyes are distorted, and this fixes it. Our brain is backward, and this turns it the right way. What does the Bible tell us? It says in Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. I'm fine. Our brain is backwards, and that's why we look into this and get it straightened out. What you see here is the exact right thing. The rest of that verse says, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. It doesn't matter what you think you know. Open this and see what God knows. And then spend some time just like that person that says, I can't trust my mirrors. I have to look. No, it takes some getting used to trust the mirrors. But it's way better. I don't want to drive that bus without my mirrors. I rely on them too much. And you say, I don't want to step out into this day without my mirrors adjusted. One of the twins, I'm not sure which one, yesterday was laughing as she went around the front of the bus, and the one mirror was shaking like crazy. It just cracked her up. But the one mirror will shake and it will kind of work its way down. So periodically I have to go out there and kind of put it to where it goes. I want to adjust those things because I rely on those mirrors. I trust the mirrors. All right. Number three. Number three, the lesson is some problems I can fix, but some problems I can't. Some problems I can fix. If I'm low on oil, I can take care of that. If a mirror needs adjusted, I can take care of that. So I'd come a little early, especially in the cold, and I get my bus ready to go, and I want it to be warm. Well, as things started to get cold, I thought, I'm gonna take care of these workers. I want the bus nice and warm. It was kind of going into the winter, and so we really hadn't run the heat yet. So I got everything started early, opened the valve down by the feet, down where the driver sits. And so when everyone got on the bus, there was no heat yet. And they said, it's okay. A lot of times we have to dry it for a little while. Well, we got to the other side of Gary, and it was still cold. So in my mind, I thought, I think there's a valve under the hood that sometimes people close for the winter. So I think I asked one of the girls, would you sit here for just a moment? So we're at our first stop. So I get out there. I open the hood. The bus is still running. Got to make sure the tie doesn't get caught in any belts and kill me. So I climb up. I'm standing on top of the tire looking in there. And I'm like, oh, look, there's a valve. It looks like it's closed. I'm going to open that valve, and that should give me the warm coolant should be able to get to where it belongs, and I can get some heat off of that. So I reach up there and discovered right away why it had been closed, because on the other side of that valve was a big leak. So an explosion of antifreeze, but at least it sprayed the other way. It wasn't back on me, so shut it right off. I'm like, ooh, okay. So I get back on the bus. I'm like, no heat today, but at least it's early in the cold season. I can talk to Brother Bishop about this, and we can get it taken care of. So some issues I can take care of, but then there are issues that I need an usher. You guys don't take an offering on your bus? There are some issues that I need help with. So that one, I came back and said, Brother Bishop, we need the heat fixed on our bus. We want to be warm in the winter. So he worked on that. And the other issue, obviously, was when the drive shaft sheared right off the bottom. You know, I didn't have a piece of chewing gum to go under there and stick it back together with, because you don't chew gum on buses, right? That's why. Oh, anyway. Okay, so I needed help. So you and I, there are issues that we can, like, oh, there's an issue there, I can take care of that, but there are sometimes you're going to need some help. And it's not a bad thing. There are sometimes you're going to need some help. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And you're like, well, I'm not built that way. I figure things out on my own. There are some times you need to decide, I need to go against how I think I'm built and ask somebody for some help. Get some help. Remember Moses and the Amalekites? He's like, every time my arms go down, we start losing this battle. Right? You guys remember that? Exodus 17. Every time my arms go down. And what if Aaron and Hur would have come alongside and let's help you with those? No! I do things on my own. And he's like, oh, and they're getting wiped out down there. And he's like, all right, I'm a man of character. I hold up my own arms. As they're getting slaughtered down there, right? Aren't you glad? He's like, I can't do this by myself. And him trying would have hurt people. So Aaron and Hur came along, and they helped him with his arms, and they won the day. What a blessing. Sometimes we need help. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law in Exodus chapter 18, Moses was spending all day counseling people, and he says, you're going to wear yourself out. This thing that thou doest is not good, there in Exodus 18, verses 17 and 18. The thing thou doest is not good, thou shalt surely wear away. Thou shalt surely wear away. And so he gave some advice about getting other people to help with some of the legal matters of the children of Israel. And he listened to that advice, and it helped him. Some things you can take care of, but there are some things you can't. It's not a bad thing to get help. Sometimes when you won't, we're hurting people. Number four, we're going into the wintertime. And as you know, there are extra potholes on the roads. And as you hit a pothole, those of you with your own vehicle, you know, oh man, I wonder what that did to my steering, my alignment, all right? And you hit it just right, and then you're like, ah. Hopefully you didn't just get it aligned too, because that's the worst. So your tire's ever so slightly out of alignment, and there's a pull, that the wheel pulls, and it takes work to keep it going straight. Oh, man, it was so nice when I could just go down the road and keep it going straight. But now there's a pull, and I got to fight with my car to keep it going straight. My steering needs an alignment. Well, our life has a steering wheel, and that's our heart. Our heart is the steering wheel of our being. And what do we know about our heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Boy, our heart needs an alignment. We all know there's a pull sometimes, isn't there? As you're going through life and your heart is pulling toward the things of the world, and you're like, that's where I belong. Why is it so much work to keep going that way? There's a pull this way. There's a pull this way, and it's so much work. My heart needs an alignment. Alignments are expensive. How many of you paid for an alignment? A few of you. Yeah, so you can get a deal. I think you can get just your front two wheels done, and sometimes $89.99 or something like that. So if you want all four, $129.99 or something like that. And I'm probably more expensive now. And so alignments cost money. But this heart needs an alignment more often than my car does. Oh, it's so easily the potholes of this life that jostle this heart, and now there's a pull. It gets out of alignment so quickly. I have bad news. This heart needs an alignment more often than your car, but I have good news. It doesn't cost $89.99. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to call the mechanic shop and they tell you, oh, we're full today. We might be able to squeeze in tomorrow afternoon. The great mechanic can take you right now. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, I love coming to church and getting my heart aligned. I love opening the Bible and getting my heart aligned. Saying, Lord, I want that alignment. I want to go that way. Lord, would you take away that pull that pulls me toward the things of this world? Oh, the Bible's so good. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that alignment, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Number five, we drivers are supposed to fill out a driver report. A driver report. So Brother Bishop has a driver report for us. Part of it's for communication. We're able to let him know if there's any issues. Part of it is for accountability. We bus drivers kind of fill out an accountability report. And you say, well, I don't like accountability. I don't like having to answer to anybody. I'm my own priest. I don't answer it. I don't know. Let's think about this accountability for just a moment. He'll say there, hey, you're the bus driver. Did you check the oil? Did you check this? Did you do the walk around? Some of it really is kind of just a reminder. I'm reminding you to do these things. And then one of the things he'll ask on there is, did you pray? I'm an assistant pastor of Fairhaven. What's the bus mechanic asking me if I'm praying? He's my friend. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24-25, where it talks about forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. It says one of the reasons we get together is to provoke one another to love and to good works. That means we're pressing on each other, saying, hey, I saw something, it wasn't right. Hey, are you praying? And if it's in a report, who cares? It's a reminder, I need to pray. It's an important thing. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Those of you that says, I don't like these accountability reports, I don't like them, you're saying, I want to be alone, and when I fall, I want to make sure there's nobody there to help me up. And the Bible says, woe to that person. What does Proverbs 27:17 say? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Anthony Nader Mohammadi was there with me. He's standing next to me. We're talking. And we're coming back on 94 one day, and it's Sunday afternoon, and he's asking me, we're just talking away, and I look up, there's lots of traffic. I look up, and this semi has stopped. I'm in the slow lane, and I'm like, when did he stop? He's basically stopped. And I'm not sure I can get my bus stopped in time. So I try. I press on my brakes, and praise the Lord, we're able to get stopped in time. But my mind said it wasn't going to happen, and somehow it did. And so the semi in front of me, and everything's flowing next to him, though. So it's not like everything stopped. Everything's flowing. And so I see him kind of driving over something. Crunch, 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 crunch. And there's a bicycle. And so there's a bicycle right in the slow lane on 94. And so Anthony says, I have to get that bicycle. I'm like, okay. So I'm stopped, and I open the door. He runs out, grabs the mangled bicycle, throws it off to the side, gets back on the bus. Traffic is able to resume, and he's shaking just because, you know, he didn't wake up that morning thinking I'm going to be standing on 94 chucking a bike off to the side. And finally, he's shaking, and we get going again. And he looks over at me and says, how did this bus stop? My mind said it wasn't possible, when we kind of noticed that and I said mine too. He goes, there's only one way. I think God helped us. And I was glad that we prayed that day. And we always pray before you head out. And it's not just a matter of routine, but it's, Lord, we need your help today. I don't want to be that guy that makes a mistake and jeopardizes our bus ministry. It's too precious. I don't want to be that guy. We might not be able to have our bus ministry forever, but I don't want to do something foolish and jeopardize it. I was glad we prayed that day. Number six, real quickly, Brother Ingalls. Remember last year? I stole this one from him. He said it's hard to steer a parked bus. It's hard to steer a parked bus. That was number six. So some of the newer buses, you can actually, with the bus not moving, you can actually turn the steering. With most cars, you can. I don't think I'll ever know with my bus. Because if I start to turn the wheel and the bus isn't moving, the power steering pump will begin whining at me the whine of death. So I'm like, okay, all right. I'll make sure the bus is moving. When the bus is moving, oh my, there's a lot less pressure on the power steering pump. When the bus is moving, all the steering is way better. When the bus is moving, it's much easier to steer. And the truth is, when we are moving and doing what's right, it's much easier for God to direct our lives, isn't it? When you're like, I'm going to sit here until God tells me what to do. That's not what the idea of waiting on the Lord would be like a waiter, right? There in Isaiah 40, a waiter comes back and says, what else can I do? Okay, I'll take care of this. What else can I? I'll do the things I can do, but I want to keep checking in with you. What else can I do for you? I'll take care of this. What else can I do for you? There in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works. So do what you know he wants you to do, and he'll help you with that right thinking. He'll guide you. He'll help you. And then Brother Bishop, I was actually talking through some of these things with him last night. He goes, also tell him a moving bus warms up faster. When you jump in, it seems like you stay cold, especially these diesel buses. Sometimes you start them, and they don't warm up until they get moving. And so you're like, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, jump in. Jump in, and things warm up faster. All right. Number seven, we have pre-trip routines. Pre-trip routines, and they are important. So we don't come, jump in the bus, and go. We check over a lot of things to make sure when we get out there aren't going to be problems. So I'll come early. I'll get out of my car. I'll open the hood, and I'm checking. I'm looking at the tires all the way around. We got the double tires in the back. I'm making sure one of them doesn't look flat. I'm looking underneath for any puddles. I open the hood. I'm looking, and I'm checking the leaf springs. I'm not a mechanic, but obviously you can tell in general if there's anything out of place. I'm checking those. I'm standing up on top of those wheels. I'm opening all the reservoirs. I'm checking all the different fluids. I'm looking at all those different things. Everything seems fine. Yesterday, Brother Bishop happened to be like, I walk around the hood, and there he is. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I was doing what I was supposed to do, checking over everything. And I was also glad he was there because I was low on oil and coolant. I'm like, hey, brother, you want to help me with something? And so I gave him the oil job since I was in my suit, and I did the coolant job, and so it was nice. We were able to top off everything. You don't want to get out there, and you're out of brake fluid, and you're like, hey, there's something wrong with the brakes. It's like, well, how was the reservoir this morning when you checked it? About that. Oh, it would have been so much better if I would have checked it and noticed a problem here next to the bus garage than out there. I didn't check it. Oh, and it's way easier to take care of things ahead of time than when you get out there and something blows up. Yes. Right? So those pre-trip routines are important, but it takes some time. If I sleep in and give myself just enough time to zip to church, get in my bus and go, oh, I could be putting a lot of people's day into the lurch. That little bit of time, just getting there early enough to check. And if there's a problem, I have a little extra time to, hey, Brother Bishop, the bus won't start. It's nice to have that time to, oh, let's get it jumped or change out, to have that little bit of time there. And we're not leaving late. Those pre-trip checks are important. So Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
don't stay in bed until the day demands that you get out of it. Get out of bed in enough time to do a pre-trip inspection of your day. By the way, Brother Bishop doesn't have time to do a pre-trip inspection of all the buses with all the drivers. But guess who does have time to do a pre-trip inspection of your day with you? The Lord. Hey, would you help me look over a few things and make sure I'm ready for my trip through this day? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's getting up out of bed in the morning and saying, before I walk out, Lord, tell me if there's something I need to deal with. All right, number eight, learning how to avoid dangerous situations. Sometimes you're driving and you're like, oh, Lord, thank you. That was really scary. And then you go back through and you kind of assess what happened. And you think, okay, next time I'm going to do this instead. Because I barely kept from hitting something. And I need to tackle that differently. I remember one time I was passing this semi. I was in the slow lane. But there was a semi that was going slower than me. And he's in the middle lane. And I'm passing him on the right. And so I'm kind of, we're going together. But then somebody is on the on-ramp. And it's one of those little ones where it comes around. And then it's up and around. So it's not a lot of space. Someone comes careening down too fast. And I'm like, they don't have any time to merge. They're going to be, I could just sense that they were going to come right on. And they're expecting me to make room for them. And I was just really weird. I kind of pushed on the brake, slowed down, zipped in behind the semi. And just kind of, I kind of glanced, part of it was like, Lord, help there not to be a car behind that semi. When it was all over, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to let myself get in a situation like that again. I'm not going to be in those. If I'm passing and I see the traffic getting on and off, and I don't want to be pinned over there. Well, sometimes in our life we get like that. I years ago, I shot myself an email. Younger me. Shot present day me an email, because years ago, I think it was some sort of a movie streaming service. My wife said, hey, there's a free subscription to this movie streaming service. What do you say we do that for the holidays? Sounds good. And there's nothing wrong with that. We intended to just see if there was something fun on there we could look at. But then, you're looking at it, it's like, let me see, what movies could we watch? And you're like, I'm the dad. I have to watch them all to see if there's any good ones to show my family. And, of course, obviously, they're like, oh, not that one, not that one. He's like, oh, I wonder. And then pretty soon you're watching movies, and you're like, I don't think I should have watched that. Or, you get the TV series, right? You get all 37 seasons right there. What other people waited 37 years to do, I could do in the next several days. I'll just stop eating and drinking and sleeping and just watch this whole. And on the other side of that, you're like, I should not have done that. I should not have done that. Boy, it sucked me in. And so I remember on the other side of that thinking, I need to warn myself. Just like that bus situation where I said, I'm not going to be in that situation again. I typed up an email, and it shows up every year. Like, hey, you're going into the holiday season. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let yourself get in a situation where you're going to say, I shouldn't have done that. And you'll be in those situations, but learn from them. Learn from them. Lord, with your help, I don't want to be in that situation again. All right. Number nine, you're a moving billboard. You're a moving billboard. People will call the church here and they'll say, hey, I saw one of your buses doing this crazy thing. People are watching, aren't they? I know my wife was in Sherman Williams getting some paint for something, and the lady's talking to her. She's like, you're from Fairhaven. My wife says, well, how do you know? And the lady like leans over and she looks down and she's like, your skirt. And the way you talk. And she's like, guilty, you caught me. People are watching. And again, all these people that say the outside doesn't matter. God only cares about what's the inside. Well, then Paul was really confused about that, because he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. And that has to do with what people see.
Be careful about what people see. We're a moving billboard. And then the last one, make sure it's not just a what, but it's a who. Sometimes a bus driver can be driving along. And he's like, well, I'm the bus driver. I don't care about these kids. Indirectly, I do. But my job is to get bus from point A to point B. And I don't know, sometimes serving God can become a what, and we can forget the who. Remember, there the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them all liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, so they had their what? They had their what? Their what was good. What they were doing was good, but they had forgot their who. Why they did it. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So in ministry, don't ever let it become a what. This is my thing, and I do it robotically. I do my thing, but I always remember the who. The who up here, who we do it for, and then those children we talked about at the beginning. Those are also the who's that we do it for. Don't ever forget. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you be with this short time of invitation. I pray that you'd allow these thoughts to have been a help. Lord, thank you for the bus ministry. Lord, it's not the only ministry. It's a precious one, but there are other ministries as well. And some of these principles, Lord, I pray could have been a help no matter what you have for each of these young people. I pray that you'd be with us and bless this closing time of the chapel. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.